Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter number 35. As we gather around the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, Angelina Perkins is here from Oregon tonight. Where are you? You got your children with you somewhere? God bless you. Give her a warm welcome. We're glad you're here. Oh, you're Sarai's mom. Oh, now we even give you a bigger hand now. Amen. Thank you for being here. We're honored to have you here. She's been a blessing to us at Crossroads. She's always bringing somebody. And now she's even got a mama here. We appreciate that. We trust that God will bless you. Hope you enjoy your time here in the area, particularly at Crossroads Baptist Church. All in Genesis 35, say amen. And God said, well, we ought to listen when God speaks. Amen. Unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar to the Lord who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of God. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Let the church say amen. Our Father, I pray, God, that you help us in these moments to hear from you. Make a difference. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We spent several weeks following Jacob through what we call challenging confrontations and dangerous delays. These were tests. These were God's way of identifying whether or not he was going to live by his old name or by his new name. He didn't do well. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, but he lived like he was never changed. By the way, one of the grave miseries of Christianity today in 2019 is that the people of God sometimes live like they've never been changed. And when he faced Esau, it was his chance to show Esau the new man, and he didn't. And then once he left Esau and should have been headed back towards Bethel, it was his chance to go straight to where he belonged, and he failed by stopping in Shechem and dwelling there perhaps 7 or 8 years or so, staying there for way too long. His daughter got defiled. His family entered utter conflict, and a page in Jacob's life was written that did not have to be written. Ladies and gentlemen, God is for you. God is on your side. God wants to bless you. God has thoughts of peace about you. God wants to fulfill his covenant and his plan in your life. And if you miss out, it is never God's fault. And so we end Genesis 34 with this conversation, if this dialogue between daddy and boys. The boys have reacted in rage. They've killed Shechem and Hamor and all those men in that area for defiling their sister. They have exacted revenge and they're not ashamed of it. Daddy is embarrassed. How dare you make me look bad among these strangers? How dare you ruin my reputation? You've messed up any opportunity of prospering in this land. I want to tell you, they're both wrong. The boys are wrong for playing God. And Jacob is wrong for being more concerned about his image than he is about his integrity and his family. And this is how we end chapter 34. Until chapter 35. I wish somebody in the building tonight would thank God that some chapters end and new chapters begin. Somebody say amen. I might just preach on that and throw the outline away. I'm glad that every time when it seems like we mess up, that God knows how to show up. Amen. I mean, you end chapter 34, and truth be told, Jacob could have ended in Shechem. That could have been the end of his family, the demise of his future, the absolute forfeiting of God's covenant. And yet, in Genesis 35, if you don't get anything from the message tonight, read Genesis 35, verse number 1, and listen to the first three words. And God said, I could have said the first two words, and God. Turn to your neighbor and say, and God. Amen. You say, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is in chapter 34, for 31 straight verses, we are reading in the life of a man that God has changed, and yet the name of God never shows up in chapter 34. Not one time. Can I tell you, you better know you're in the wrong place spiritually when you're doing everything you do and God never shows up. You're not in the, I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care how many friends you have. I don't care how many promotions you're getting. I don't care how good your health is. If you are rolling without God, you are rolling in the wrong spot. And that's where he was, in a dangerous delay, absolutely out of the will of God. Could you imagine? In chapter 32, he wrestles with God. God changes his name. In chapter 33, he reunites with his brother with an opportunity to tell him about God. And in chapter 34, we don't even hear about God. There's no telling how many years these passages represent. I saw one theologian say it could have been several years that he was there in Shechem and never heard about God. God help us to never get in a spot where God's not involved. My. I listen to some people tell me how good things are going and they never mention God. And I find out it's not that things are going well. It's that somehow in their life they have changed the definition of well. Well ain't well without God. And God. And God. We've entitled this section, and we'll just deal with maybe 15 minutes or so of it tonight. But we're calling it Back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. Why does God, my, why does God show up even when we don't seem to acknowledge him? I'm going to tell you why. He's trying to get us back on the right track. Listen to me preach tonight. He's trying to get us back on the right track. For some of you, that might be tonight. You may be moving and wheeling and dealing. And you may be here and there and everywhere. And you may be on what seems to be a crash course to success. You may be climbing up the ladder in your career and moving down the road in some relationships and amassing some assets financially. You may really be moving down the highway. highway, but there's no God. There's no God's word. There's no God direction. There's no God involvement. I'm here to tell you, God didn't bring you to church on Wednesday night just to punch the clock and to have a little break between that job. God didn't set you here to go through your mechanics and work through your routine and just to say you were counting in the attendance. God brought you to Crossroads Baptist Church on a Wednesday night to say it's about time you got back on track. And here we are in chapter 35. God is ushering Jacob back to Bethel. Perhaps he's ushering you tonight. Do you remember when you were there? Do you remember when things were good with you and God? Listen, things can seem to be good in every area, but if they're not good with you and God, it stinks up every other area. Things can seem to be bad in every area, but when they're right with you and God, it'll cover for every. Somebody help me preach. It's time to get back to Bethel when you and God are right. So let's look at a couple things in Genesis 35. Maybe God is ushering you. God is ushering you. He is inserting himself back into your life. Did anybody hear me? He is reinserting himself back into your life. How? Well, if you would, God is going to do that with what I call a supernatural conversation. Those are good talks. Come on. God and I are good talks. You and God are good talks. And let's just go ahead before we get too far into the sermon and everybody just in concert remove the halos, because everybody just need to keep it real tonight and admit that sometimes our own foolish decisions put us on mute with God. Put God on mute with us. We go moving. I hear people say, I feel like God has left me. He never leave you, but sometimes you leave him. Amen. 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 Well, I thought God is omnipresent. He is. He is. You mean God was there in Shechem? He was. He was there. The omnipresence of God can never be interrupted. You'll never go anywhere geographically, emotionally, relationally where God is not. Even in your biggest blunders, God is there. Listen to me. I'm not saying that God is absent. I'm just simply saying that God is not active. The psalmist said that thine hand might be with me. That thine hand might be with me. We have these fellowships around here. Seem like we fellowship everything, don't we? Somebody's leaving, somebody's coming, somebody's moving, somebody's having a baby, somebody came back from being sick. We just find a reason to eat, don't we? And so we have these fellowships around here. And how many of you know that people love to eat, but not everybody loves to clean up? Somebody help me preach. And every once in a while we get to the end of these fellowships and it's time to move stuff and tables have to go somewhere and chairs have to go somewhere and dishes have to go somewhere and food has to go somewhere and God help us, people have to go somewhere. And every once in a while you see somebody carrying something heavy or carrying some table. Every once in a while, God forbid, one of these ladies is doing it. And there's a whole bunch of people there. But being there and being active, two different things. Anybody listening? So when you're moving a table, you don't need moral support. Hey, brother, I see you struggling with that table. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for right now, while you're about to die, break your back, and live for the rest of your life, bend all over. I want you to know I'm calling God with your name in the sentence. God bless him. Stand his back up. Give him power from on high. Give him Popeye-like spinach strength. No. I don't need your prayer life. I need you to put your hand in here. Come on now. This is what David said, that thine hand might be with me. I know God's there. I know when I'm going to a valley, God's there. I know when I'm sick, God's there. I know when I sing, God's there. I know when I preach, God's there. But I don't want just God to be there. I want God to be involved. I need a hand from God. He was there in 34, but not involved. Thank God that Genesis 35 didn't begin with, and God said, Jacob still ain't called me yet, so I'm not going to call him. Thank God that Genesis 35 said, and God said, and you ought to just tell the person beside you, amen, right about now, because God has dialed your number long before you ever thought about dialing his. I mean, we should be blowing his phone up. And yet sometimes he has come looking for us. What a shame that the God of the universe, who's done nothing wrong, has to chase us when we should be chasing him. There's a supernatural conversation. And it begins with a righteous directive. Amen. And God said unto Jacob, arise. 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 What's the problem with Jacob? The problem with Jacob is he is resting in Shechem. He has grown comfortable in a wicked place. Ladies and gentlemen, the step number one to get back to Bethel is to get out of Shechem. That's deep, Pastor. I know, but you can handle it. You ain't gonna ever get back to Bethel until you get out of Shechem. And you're never going to get out of Shechem until you arise. Listen, is anybody listening to me? I'm just trying to be simple with you. You can't leave the house till you get out to bed. Amen. And so God is saying to somebody, arise. 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 Stop, stop, stop. Stop planning what you're going to do when you get to work when you haven't even gotten out of bed. Arise. Arise. This is what God is saying to Jacob. You have long been too comfortable in Shechem. Your house is there. Your bed is there. Your furniture is there. But I'm telling you, main man, get up, get up, get up. Somebody's telling God, I can't leave. I can't leave. I got too much vested. I'm in a lease. I've put too much furniture here. I've just accepted this position. We've been too far in this relate. God is saying to you, arise. You spent 31 verses without me. Arise. This is a righteous directive. This is God talking. Not Jacob, God talking. After you've been in Shechem so long, you need to hush and listen. Because how you talk doesn't sound right. Your talk has been Shechemized. Come on. And you think everybody else is crazy. You think your parents are picking on you, and you think your pastor has been getting your information from your spouse, and you think that the world is getting, no, you got all that Shechem in you. Hush. Let God talk. He still makes sense. Even when you lose your mind, he still got his. There's a righteous directive. There is a relevant destination. Go up to Bethel. Now, you've been down. You've been down everywhere else. It's time to go up. Aren't you glad that God wants you to go up? God is always relevant. He doesn't just want you to get up and go. He wants you to get up and go somewhere. Go to Bethel. Listen for the instructions of God, beloved. Don't just listen for God getting you out. Listen for God. Listen for where God's trying to take you in. Go to Bethel. He's a specific God. He's a relevant God. He's a pertinent God. Go to Bethel. Go to Bethel. He is always pertinent. He is relating it to you. And God said to Jacob. And God said to Jacob, that's the good thing about coming to church as opposed to going to college. A big group of people can go to college and get a lecture. And when they leave the lecture, they can say, that was boring. That was dumb. I'm glad I'm out of here. I just want a credit. But when you come to church, you don't get a lecture. You hear a message. And a lecture is something you can leave and forget about. But a sermon and a message is something that calls you to make a decision. I'm preaching to several people tonight, but I'm glad that while I'm preaching a message to a bunch of you, God is saying something directly to you. And it's got your name on it. A little uncomfortable sometimes, isn't it? Raise your hand if you ever sat in a message and you felt like the preacher was preaching directly to you. That's partly correct. It's just as you're associating the wrong preacher. This preacher is preaching to everybody, but the big preacher, the Holy Ghost, is preaching to you. And I'm glad, because all of us make specific mistakes, so we need specific messages. And so his relevant destination is now going to give about a residing dwelling. Huh? Go to Bethel and dwell there. Notice he didn't say, go to Bethel and spend the night there. See, don't gloss over the words in the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Plenarily it's been inspired. In fullness it's been inspired. But verbally it's inspired. We don't just believe the thoughts of the Bible are inspired. The very words of the Bible are inspired. Amen. Amen. Dwell there. The problem with the Christian life is we just stop through Bethel. We visit Bethel. See, Bethel becomes a hotel instead of a home. Dwell there. Dwell. Hey, the way you bought a house in Shechem, move to Bethel. Stop treating God like a visit. An appointment. A brief fellowship. Dwell there. A residing dwelling place. A rehearsed declaration in Genesis 28:22. This is what Jacob said to God. If I come again in peace, this stone shall be God's house. Here's what Jacob said. God, if you get me past this thing with Esau, I will be back in Bethel to worship you. Now, let me ask you a question. Had God held up his end? Had God held up his end? I'm asking you tonight. Please think tonight. Has God held up his end of the bargain? Has he? Don't listen. Stop coming to church and telling everybody everything that's gone wrong. Has God kept his word? Yeah, but what's name backstabbed me, and what's that boy made me think he wanted to marry me, and that job told me they wanted to promote me, and that salesman told me this car was the best thing, and that barber said he was only going to cut 1 inch off. I'm asking you, has God held up his end? Well, when are you going to hold up yours? Because you told him, if you got through this encounter with Esau, you would be back to Bethel to offer sacrifice to him. But you didn't move over in Shechem. Oh, God, what had happened was, don't you hate when people wait till the start time of the function to tell you they're not coming? And it's not that they didn't know, it's that they didn't have the nerve. Huh? Because if they tell you 3 days before, you're gonna have to hear a reprimand and feel guilty, and they might convince you to come. If after it starts you say, I'm not coming, it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission. It's time, Jacob. It's time. Here's what God's saying. I'm not waiting on you to figure out you need to go back to Bethel. I'm ordering you to go. I'm giving you a directive. And the reminding details. When thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. I got a lot to tell you next week. I want you to come back. But I want you to think about these details on the end, would you? And I'll let you go home. It's like God's saying, you remember how bad it was? Like, when you made that promise to me, you were scared to death. The last time you were at Bethel, you were desperate for me. Here's the problem, son. Here's what he's saying. The reason why you're camped out in Shechem is because you have distanced yourself from desperation. You got too good at taking care of yourself and forgot who got you good. When you were broke, couldn't afford Uber and had to get a church member to give you a ride to church and a good one that wouldn't charge you gas, you were looking for me. Ever since you got that car and that job and you can fill it up your own self, you ain't been back since. When you were sick, couldn't get well, didn't know how to get healed, and no medicine would work, your prayer life was on fire. Now you're feeling good, and that stuff hadn't hit you like it used to, you hardly ever pray. Get back to Bethel. Because you and I would never have gone a whole chapter without talking if you were desperate. He's ushering you tonight. Just kind of nudging you. Nudging you. While you're laying in that house you should have never bought. I'm about to say, don't get quiet. And then the Holy Spirit said, no, don't tell him that. Stay quiet. I want you to hear me good. Your amen might cause you to miss three syllables. And then you are just inclined in that spot out of the will of God. It's Jonah. He's asleep. It's bad enough he's on the wrong ship. He's asleep. And if God hadn't sent him a storm, he'd have kept riding the wrong place. One of these days we're going to get to heaven and we'll understand it better by and by. One of the first apologies we're going to make to God when we get to heaven is, sorry for complaining about storms. I should have been thanking you, because if you hadn't awakened me out of my sleep, I would have gone further out of the will of God. Who says Jacob wouldn't have stayed 5 more years in Shechem if God hadn't come to Shechem and said, get out of here? Amen. And sometimes he sends people, a.k.a. pastor. To be your alarm clock. My wife said, that is the most annoying sound. You don't want a soothing sounding alarm. I just have one. I want my alarm to be, no, no, no. You ain't gonna never get up. You need something to get on your nerves. God sometimes is sounding the alarm. I didn't come to church on no Wednesday night to hear an alarm clock. What, you want to keep sleeping through your wickedness? You want another day out of the will of God? Or would you like to finish the rest of the week heading the right direction? Well, come to the altar tonight and say, thank you, Lord, for the alarm. Because by the way it looks, you didn't plan on getting up anytime soon. And I'm glad that in spite of us, to get us back on track, God calls us way before we call him. Father, thank you. For somebody you're working on, just bring them to the altar tonight to get them back on track. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together.